Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The three top Democratic candidates for governor debated last night on Wood TV in Grand Rapids. Sri Tanadar, Gretchen Whitmer, and Dr. Abdul El-Sayed had 1 hour to make their case to voters. We had one candidate presenting himself as an immigrant success story, another as the son of immigrants, and the third is the only one with experience in governing. With us now is Adrian Hammond, who's Democratic political strategist with Grassroots Midwest. Adrian, let's start with broad strokes. Did anything or anyone surprise you last night?
No, I thought none of the candidates really stood out or moved the ball downfield a lot from their performance at the debate up on Mackinac Island. I thought they all performed credibly. I wouldn't say that anybody added a ton of value to their candidacy last night, but there were some interesting developments.
All right. Well, let's start with that. Now, first of all, where did you hear the main areas where they were all three pretty much in agreement?
Yeah, I think they were largely in agreement about things. There wasn't much in the way of policy difference. It was all really about framing and sort of making the case to Democratic primary voters that they were the person that could get the job done. But there really wasn't a whole lot of policy daylight between the three candidates.
All right, when you talk about interesting developments, such as...
One of the things that interested me the most from the debate last night was the performance of Dr. El-Sayed. And he's running third in the polls right now. I don't know that he did a ton to improve the chances of his candidacy, but throughout the debate last night, you kept seeing this raw political talent bubble to the surface. And sometimes he really connected with his answers, and sometimes he was right on the cusp of doing it. But I spent a lot of time watching the debate last night thinking about what might have been if either Dr. El-Sayed had run for something else first to get a little bit more practice at being a political candidate. You know, his candidacy had started before the whole contremps with Congressman John Conyers, but I think Dr. El-Sayed could have won the 13th Congressional District running away. He would have had to move back into the district, but he's a very talented young politician.
Well, let's listen to tone. We're going to start by listening to hear some moments where there was some disagreement and separation, as you say, in the framing between the candidates. We're going to start by listening to Gretchen Whitmer and Dr. El-Sayed. They were talking about health care and the battle for the ideological heart of the Democratic Party in Michigan. Here is Gretchen Whitmer.
When Governor Snyder embraced Medicaid expansion, I went to work and I partnered with him and we delivered. And so I'm the only person on this stage that's actually delivered on providing health care for people. Yes, we still have 600,000 people in our state that we need to expand coverage to, and I am absolutely committed to that. Here's the thing that sets me apart. I know how to get things done.
And here's Dr. El-Sayed.
In this race, I am the only candidate here who has fully complied with federal financial disclosures. I'm not taking a dime of corporate money. We are knocking on 10,000 doors a week, and we are having conversations with voters about real policy. Because I'm not bought off by the folks like Blue Cross Blue Shield. I can say single-payer health care. I'm not bought off by the auto insurance companies. I'll talk about insurance reform. It's about what Michiganders deserve in their politics.
Now, remind us again, Adrian, why Dr. El-Sayed keeps going out of his way to talk about not being beholden to Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Well, I mean, Blue Cross Blue Shield has made some contributions to, executives at Blue Cross Blue Shield have made some contributions to Senator Whitmer's campaign. I know at least one Blue Cross executive has, hosted a fundraiser for her. So I think that's sort of what Dr. El-Sayed's trying to get at, is to differentiate himself as the sort of outsider candidate who doesn't have these relationships with, you know, large health insurers, folks like that. I think that in order for him to really land that attack, he would have to be more explicit about it. He didn't mention Senator Whitmer once anytime that he brought up Blue Cross Blue Shield.
So you'd really kind of have to kind of go into the weeds and know these things the way you do to kind of to have that hit land.
Absolutely, yeah. If he wants to use that, and it's probably a good political attack for him, he's got to be much more explicit about it.
Now, Whitmer was the only candidate of the three who did not mention single-payer health care. I'm wondering, how much is her stance on health care an issue in this primary?
You know, I don't think that it's a huge issue. I mean, my feeling about partisan primaries, whether it's this primary for governor or any other in any party, is once you meet the issue test, the primary voters know that you stand with them on the issues that are most important to them, then it's a popularity contest. And so these primaries, you know, policy detail is important, but it's not that important. All of these candidates are basically in the same place. regardless of the particulars of how they get there. They want to expand health care coverage to everyone in Michigan. They have slightly different ideas about how to do that. That's basically what Democratic primary voters want to see. They want to see health care coverage expanded. So at that point, it really becomes a personality contest. Who do you believe actually has the chops to get the job done?
Now, the very second question of the debate was about the roads, everybody's favorite topic in Michigan. And both Whitmer and Dr. El-Sayed talked about their plans for an infrastructure bank. But Sri Tanadar has a different approach. Let's take a listen.
We got to fix the roads. We got to fix our infrastructure. I am proposing a $30 billion, 30-year municipal statewide bond to pay for our infrastructure. We need to put about $4 billion taking care of the lead pipes. We need to take care of the bridges that are falling apart. We need to have mass transportation. People need to be able to drive all across and go. The bus routes need to be increased. We need to have light rail. We need to take Michigan to the next level.
So infrastructure bank or this statewide municipal bond, do you think primary voters, either one of those approaches might resonate with them?
I mean, frankly, I think that most primary voters don't understand the difference between the two of those things or exactly what the candidates are talking about. They want to hear that folks have got a plan to do this. Most primary voters don't understand how the bond markets work, which is probably a fortunate thing for Mr. Tanadar, since he referred to these as municipal bonds and they're not. I don't think that that matters that much. I think that folks want to know that you have a plan and they want to be able to trust that you've got the chops to get the job done. But that's what they're electing you for. They shouldn't have to understand bond markets or how you're going to finance the plan more broadly than who's going to pay for it.
Adrian, do you think overall any of those three delivered anything that might convert voters in a state that went for Donald Trump in 2016?
I mean, nothing that they said in this debate for that was, you know, aimed squarely at Democratic primary voters is going to change a lot of minds for the general electorate. I did think it was interesting. You know, I've been harping on for a long time, one of the things that Democrats have gotten really bad at and helps to explain their electoral fortunes in 2016 is making the argument of what do you, Mr. or Mrs. Voter, get when I win. Hillary Clinton was terrible at that. The candidates last night, each of them sort of tiptoed up to that. I thought that notwithstanding that I didn't think he gave a great performance last night, I think actually Sri Tanadar came the closest to that. His closing statement was all about, imagine what happens after I win, this thing, that thing, and listed off a specific list of things of, what do you get when I win? And I think that that's, each of the candidates tried to do that. I think that in his closing statement, Mr. Tanadar probably came the closest. I don't think overall he gave the best performance of the three candidates last night, but he really did do the best job of any of the candidates right at the end of making that tie. What do you, Mr. or Mrs. Voter, get when I win?
Now, I've got to ask you about Detroit area voters. We certainly know that was, a terrible wound and a weakness for the turnout in the 2016 election. Are any of these candidates gaining traction in the state's largest city? And how much of an issue is that, both in the primary and even more importantly in the general election?
I mean, it's a huge issue in both the primary and the general election. And I would say that none of the three candidates has done a great job. Each of them has a very different strategy for sort of getting into the city of Detroit. I would say that right now you'd have to give a slight advantage in terms of the execution of those strategies to Sri Tanadar, largely because for all of his posturing as an outsider business candidate, he's running a very traditional Detroit program. He's bringing in pastors, some of them on a paid basis, and other community leaders to help him organize in the city of Detroit, in addition to all the money that he's spending on television ads. So, I mean, there's certainly been, money and influence changing hands down there with some of the traditional Democratic power brokers. And he doesn't have the union support, so he's had to go to some other areas to get that. I think that, candidate Whitmer has been relying a lot on the union that have endorsed her, and she's really racked up all of the important union endorsements to date to help her in the city of Detroit with their membership, and that can also be very powerful. I think she needs to do a better job, a more aggressive job of executing in the city of Detroit and really engendering not just support but enthusiasm. You know, in 2016, if you asked the average Detroit voter if they preferred Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, they would certainly tell you Hillary Clinton, but a lot of those folks didn't show up because the enthusiasm wasn't there, and I think that's her task. I've been surprised, frankly, at how poorly Dr. El-Sayed has performed in Detroit, given the fact that he led the health department there. But a lot of the voters that he's targeting, you know, the sort of far-left Bernie-crat voters, those are, in general, not Detroit voters.
Can you call a winner last night?
You know, I would give a very slight advantage to candidate Whitmer. You know, I said at the beginning that I didn't think anybody helped their candidacy a ton. I think if anybody did, it was Senator Whitmer. She had the most balanced performance last night. You know, Sri Tanadar took a lot of big swings in terms of big ideas. His delivery was a little bit stilted, but like I mentioned before, he had a really good closing argument. I think that Senator Whitmer was on a really even keel throughout the night. She was polished and professional. She didn't add anything particularly new that we haven't heard in her stump speech or in prior debate performances, but I think she was the most sort of professional candidate. Like I mentioned earlier, Dr. El-Sayed is just brimming with political talent. And I spent a lot of the time when I was listening to him thinking about what might have been. I think he gave a very credible performance last night. You know, he's running so far behind in the polls, I don't think he's got much chance to prevail. But I'll be very excited to see what he does with that talent in the future.
Democratic political strategist Adrian Hammond with Grassroots Midwest. Adrian, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.